Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Caroline Fenton is here. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how we doing?
Good. Ian Safar is here. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
So I just want to start the show off with something today that I promise that I'll drop it as soon as I say this. But, I mean, these kids today with these jewels that they have. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Kids, like, younger and younger they get, the worse and worse they behave as time goes on. It's really scary.
I thought my generation was bad, but these kids today, I mean, they are scary. Like, Ian, I mean, you know, Caroline and I were talking about this, like, you know, by the time that we end up having kids, if that ever happens, knock on wood, by the time Caroline and I ever end up having kids, it's going to be real bad. Like, I mean, I'd be worried just being a dad, like, you know, that the things that these kids get themselves into today. And we were talking about these jewels. Caroline's telling me that middle schoolers are smoking the jewels.
They're bad. They're bad kids.
Like that. Like, and I said that if I was a parent, when I become a parent, knock on wood, that is going to be a non-negotiable in the Stillman house.
I also know how this is how I'm becoming, like, closer to the age of having kids than being a kid is when I'm like, oh no, like, not the middle schoolers with the jewels. And I'm thinking about being like a helicopter mom and wrapping my kids in bubble wrap. Like, no, you're not going to hang out with the bad kids. You're not going to jewel when you're 12.
So this is a show that values talking about sports, but I do feel like it should be necessary that parents should know, do not let your middle school kids jewel. That stuff is bad for you. And I got to say this, and I mean this, and then I promise I'll drop it, unless you have a thought on this, Ian, because I haven't let you get in on this at all either. But I understand, like, the older generation, you know, the 70-year-olds now, the baby boomers,
boomers.
I understand them, like, not knowing the side effects of smoking, because back in their day, when smoking was introduced to them, smoking cigarettes were cool. Smoking cigarettes helped you lose weight. Mm-hmm. Smoking cigarettes helped you manage stress. And there wasn't this idea that, oh, by the way, it's killing you while you do it.
Like, you can do it when you're pregnant.
Right. Like, they didn't know. You could smoke on an airplane. They didn't know. And nowadays, like, I grew up my entire life knowing that smoking was bad. Like, I knew smoking was bad. And so I just never wanted to touch the stuff. Because I see all these people, I go to a gas station and somebody's in front of me and they're paying $8 or whatever it is for a pack of smokes.
Yeah, they're expensive.
And it's like, what are you doing? So everybody my age and younger, and even probably older than me, but going off of my experience, my age and younger, everybody knows that smoking's bad. We've been trained. They tell us in school, smoking's bad for you. Well, then these jewels came out. And I didn't know about these for a while. I was late to the club on this, thank God.
They became like a big thing when I was in college.
So,
and
like,
everyone had a jewel.
2018?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was in London when the Titans played the Chargers with my dad. And we were watching, like, the Sky News, which is, you know, the London thing. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about that. About, you know, the jewels and how they were outlawing them, I think, in London or whatever. And I was like, what is this? And they're like, yeah, they can look like USB, so you can stick it in a computer so a teacher doesn't. I'm like, what? I'm like, those things are terrible. And so I'll be at, like, you know, wherever, the gas station, the mall, the movie theater, the whatever, and I'll see the kids just, and I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. So this is my PSA to everybody out there. Do not start smoking.
Good. I think that is our good public service announcement for the week. We did our due diligence.
Thank you.
And now the people know. Now we ended smoking.
There we go.
Good for us. No more nicotine addiction.
Ian, your thoughts on smoking, pro or anti-smoking?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I don't think there's any good reason to be pro-smoking at this point.
Agreed. And yet, I don't get it. I don't get how these kids don't know and they still buy the stuff.
Oh, they know.
I'm not getting it.
They know.
They know.
Yeah.
They don't care.
How can you not care? It kills you.
They don't. I mean, they don't care. Because, well, I think by that point...
Is that like the same person that's like, oh yeah, chocolate chip cookies kill you too?
Well, I think at that point people start it because it's cool and then they get addicted to it and they're so addicted to it, they're like, I don't really care. Like, you know, I'm not here for a long time, I'm here for a good time.
What? That makes no sense.
I'm just saying.
That makes no sense.
I've had many of friends who have thrown their jewels out the car door, put it in a glass of water, tried to get off the sauce, and then they buy a new one.
I have seen that too. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about sports today here on the show. Hall of Fame game is tonight. Now, this happens every year, except obviously for last year when there was no Hall of Fame game. But it happens every year where every time you hear the Hall of Fame game, people treat the Hall of Fame game like it's a joke. Like, they act like the Hall of Fame game is not a real thing. There's this sense of, the Hall of Fame game. Let me say this. The Hall of Fame game, I believe, averages about 4 million viewers every year that they have the Hall of Fame game. LeBron versus Steph Curry in a play-in playoff game got 5 million viewers. So the Hall of Fame game is almost as popular to the American eyeball as an NBA playoff game that involves LeBron and Steph Curry, the two biggest stars in the game. So somebody's watching the Hall of Fame game. And let me raise my hand and say, I am one of those who's watching the Hall of Fame game. But I enjoy the Hall of Fame game, or I'm going to enjoy the Hall of Fame game more this year, because it is nice to have preseason football back. Say it with me. It is nice to have preseason football back. Now, I'm not saying that it's nice to have preseason football back because, oh, it's just so great to see two teams with helmets on kicking off the ball, getting ready to go. Nah, I'm not all worried about it. Though there are people that do that. It's like the people that go to SEC Media Days as fans and try to root on the players as they walk in their suits. Like, it's ridiculous. But I do value preseason football. Like, I'm not saying we need four games, and I hate how the teams like the Rams won't play their starters in any of the games that they have, but I value preseason football. And last year, when there was all the talk about COVID and how that was going to affect everything, and they said, well, we got to cancel the preseason. We can't have preseason football this year because of COVID. I thought to myself, why the hell would you do that? These travel policies that you're going to have during the season, you might as well practice them during the preseason. Hey, everybody's got to mask up on a flight. Everybody's got to socially distance. Meetings have got to be in different rooms of the hotel. Wouldn't you want to practice that before you have to go to Denver and play a game? That's what I thought. The other thing is, the preseason doesn't matter for Ryan Tannehill, but it does matter for Tyrae Tart. It does matter for, I don't know, Marcus Johnson. It does matter for Chester Rogers. It does matter for Joe Rexroad's brother, Nick Westbrook-Akina. It matters for these players. And that's how you can discover who's good or who's bad. And then when I think of the Hall of Fame game, and I think of the fact that everybody's going to sit there and laugh and say, well, we're not going to see any good players tonight. I mean, it's, you know, Pittsburgh, Dak's not going to play, and Big Ben's not going to play, and Zeke's not going to play, and Juju's not going to play. You know, in 2000, they had a Hall of Fame game. It was the New England Patriots versus the San Francisco 49ers. And you know who got a lot of snaps in the Hall of Fame game in 2000? The sixth-round pick out of the Patriots, who was their third-string quarterback, named Tom Brady.
Heard of him.
Preseason football matters. I remember a couple of years ago, I had gone to a handful of practices, Mike Vrabel's first year, and Blaine Gabbert was the backup quarterback, Mariota was the starter, and they played a preseason game on the road at Pittsburgh, and the Titans got housed. The starting Titans got embarrassed by the starting Steelers. But then, after a couple of series, the starting Titans went out and the starting Steelers went out, and it was what I would deem to be unwatchable football. You know, when you're watching the Titans preseason broadcasts and the only thing that interests you is Corey Curtis on the sidelines? But in this game, Blaine Gabbert found a favorite target by the name of Anthony Firkser. And I had never heard of Anthony Firkser before. I knew that 86 had made some catches in practice, but there's a lot of people who make catches in practice. And I will never forget Mike Vrabel's press conference on a Monday. We aired it live on the show. Jim Wyatt asked Vrabel a question about Firkser and was like, you know, hey, what'd you think about Firkser in the game? And I laughed. And I came back on the air and I said, that is so, why are we asking questions about Firkser? I mean, this guy is never going to play. This guy is not going to make the team. This guy is not, what are we talking about Firkser for? And then when Floyd did the three things, one of the three things he liked, because the game was so bad, he laughed and said, Firkser. And we laughed about it. Firkser got cut, but they put him on the practice squad. Delanie Walker broke his leg, gets elevated up off the practice squad. The rest is history. Anthony Firkser is now the starting tight end of the Tennessee Titans. So we can sit here all we want, and we can pretend like preseason football's bad, or we can pretend like the Hall of Fame game doesn't matter, or we can pretend, but I am a firm believer that anytime you get to put the football pads on and you get to hit somebody, like actually tackle them to the ground, you have a chance to do something with your career. The Steelers have a player who's not going to play tonight in the Hall of Fame game. His name is Robert Spillane. I think many of you remember when Robert Spillane came out of nowhere, and in the preseason games where he was actually allowed to tackle, all of a sudden became the guy that everybody was rooting for to make the Titans. He did make the Titans eventually, and then was later released, and he went through the league, and a couple years later, next thing you know, he's the starting middle linebacker of the 10-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. The NFL comes at you fast. I remember a preseason game. It was the first preseason game. Titans and Rams a handful of years ago. Steve McNair, Kurt Warner both leave the game early. And the fourth quarter turned into a shootout between Billy Volek and Mark Bulger. I think you've heard of them. So I look at this and tonight's game in the Hall of Fame game. And I am so glad, not that football's back for the nostalgia of the Fox theme song and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, but I'm excited that it's back. Because I think we need preseason football. Yesterday, Mike Vrabel was asked a question about the expanded practice squads. Do you like it? Do you not like it? His response was, whatever the rules are, we'll play by. But I do like it because I think it gives guys a chance to develop. It gives guys a chance to get better. For example, last year on the practice squad, the Titans were able to have Chester Rogers and at the end of the year, Marcus Johnson. Those guys are probably going to make the team this year. So I am pumped up about preseason football, but I'm not pumped up like everybody else. I'm not pumped up to see the uniforms. I'm not pumped up to watch Ryan Tannehill play one series and then spend 4 hours the next day analyzing it. I'm excited because this is the opportunity for the guys that can make or break the depth of your team. The Titans this year, we know Harold Landry's going to be out there, but how about rotating other guys in? Who can play? What about special teams? What about kicker right now for the Titans? Those are all important. I am so excited preseason football's back. Not for the same reasons a lot of people are, but because, quite frankly, I think in this sport, we need preseason football. And I'll also say this, selfishly, as a talk radio host, last year when they eliminated the preseason, I thought, well, what are we going to talk about now? I mean, you're eliminating four Titans Mondays from me. I don't even care if nobody plays in the last preseason game. I mean, that's a day to get on there and talk about.
Talk about Julen.
Yes. But you got three this year. You get the extra game. I'm for the extra game. But you get the three preseason games this year, and I think it's great. I think it's great for some of these players because I think there are some dudes that aren't even on people's radars, that aren't even on John Robinson's radars. He'll never be honest with you. Like when you ask, so when did you think that Anthony Firkser could be a player for you? He'll never say, yeah, it was the first, second, third preseason game. But that's probably the case. There's also a lot of guys in practice that look good, but how can you tell if a linebacker is good if he's not allowed to hit anybody? How can you tell if your defensive line is good if they're not allowed to push the offensive line? So I am excited for preseason football. And you may crap on the Hall of Fame game all you want, but don't come to me and say, what'd you think of the NBA game? Because I'll say, I think more people are watching the Hall of Fame game. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get Caroline's thoughts on the return of football today with the Hall of Fame game. We'll get Ian's thoughts as well. Plus, there is one element of the Hall of Fame game that people make a big deal about, but I think it just tells us where we are as a society. We'll get to that coming up next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
How can you assess, you know, your guys up front in the trenches?
I mean, I think the defensive line has been a really good group for us. It's been a group that's had full numbers. You know, when we come to camp, we have a breakdown of what we think that we need, and you know, John and I went heavy on the roster at offensive line because we knew we had some guys that were working their way back, you know, Taylor and Ty. But then we also knew that we had some veterans in Roger and Ben that were going to need some days. And unfortunately, you know, that's the group that's kind of gotten hit the worst and hit the hardest. So, you know, I think that they're battling. I do. I think there's been some really good efforts up front. I thought that half line run and pass drill was a good drill. I think that's the way we need to start practice or start our day or start our game, you know, with those base fundamentals.
That was Vrabel, and you hear right there, you know, well, we need to get more offensive linemen in because guys are hurt. So it may not matter to fans, you know, certain things about the preseason, certain things about camp, but it does matter to the team. And that's like the Hall of Fame game. I'm excited about the Hall of Fame game tonight because anytime you step out on a football field, you can make your career.
Interesting that you don't have that same thought about college spring games.
Well, I mean, why would I care about college spring games?
I mean, you could make that same argument about NFL preseason games.
Well, but I don't care about the result of an NFL preseason game. I care about, like,
the development.
Yeah. And, like, the spring game for college, I mean, that's one game that you play at the end of spring, and then you pack up, and you don't play again until... I mean, I think not this... I'm not the biggest Clay Travis fan in the world, but Clay Travis years ago made a point one time that said, why not in the spring? Why don't schools just play other schools? So instead
that's
of your spring game, you play two games, one home, one on the road, and... instead of Vanderbilt playing Vanderbilt or Tennessee playing Tennessee, you have Tennessee playing on the road at Wisconsin, right?
Mm.
I mean,
that's more fun.
It would be more fun for us. You get more like
they learn more.
And then you can only play a quarterback for one quarter at a time. Then you got to take them out, put in somebody else. You know, like, so you can put in rules like that. So it's not a game, but it's more interesting. And honestly, you probably learn more about your own team that way.
And too, like, with this changing landscape of college football, out-of-conference games are going to become less and less. So having that game in the spring would kind of give you that opportunity to play those out-of-conference games, to play those matchups that you may not necessarily have time for in the regular season.
Yeah, like
I like that idea.
Like OTAs for the Titans, like I don't care about that. Like who's looking good at OTAs? I mean, like we talk about who's looking good because you care. So when we have the TD Power Hour, it's like, TD's here, TD, who looks good? But, like, do I care necessarily about OTAs? Not really. But, again, it's your show, not my show. So it's like, okay, what do you think? But in the preseason, I mean, you're ramping up football. You're trying to make the roster. You're trying to – I mean, I'm a watch all four quarters of a Titan preseason game. I watch that fourth quarter. What are your thoughts on the return of football and the importance of the preseason, which I think is kind of my big take for today, is we didn't have it last year, and I think we need it.
I think my biggest thing is exactly what you said about not having it last year. It's just, I know that there are all sorts of things coming up with COVID and we're not necessarily 100% in the clear, but it feels like there's maybe a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel.
Sure.
And it just feels like, okay, yes, it's finally here. Last year, I know that we had an NFL season. I know that we had a college football season, but it just wasn't the same. It didn't feel the same. It didn't have the same feeling around. It didn't have the same aura almost of football. But this year, it feels like we are finally back. And so I'm ready to kind of have that feeling again. Doesn't matter if it's a preseason game. Doesn't matter if it really doesn't have any sort of Super Bowl implications. I'm just excited to have helmets hitting each other on the field. And I think that also, I mentioned development earlier, I think that is huge for some of these players. We talked about the Titans rookies maybe not making as much development as they should in training camp, maybe not looking as sharp as they should in training camp. And I think these preseason games are going to be exactly what they need to kind of, you know, sharpen up all the edges that we see there.
How important do you think it is, though, for the development of your team?
I think you can make relationships in practice and you can have team dinners and you can build those friendships and those relationships. But whenever you're battle tested actually on the field and going into it, knowing that it's not necessarily going to be on your record at the end of the season, it's not going to hurt any of your chances in the postseason, but having those opportunities to play other teams and actually be, using a buzzword, quote unquote, battle tested, I think that's huge because it tests those relationships. And we talked about that whenever Julio Jones and A.J. Brown were talking about sharing the ball. And we said, okay, well, how is that going to look later on in the season if they're 0-4, knock on wood? But I think that having these opportunities to play together without playoff implications, that is huge. That's great to be able to keep this group cohesive whenever they are in the regular season and maybe not making, knock on wood, maybe not making the same strides that they wish they would.
So I just think, too, like, I'll give you this example that's currently on the Titans. I know who's good. I know who's bad. I told you all last week, 2 weeks ago, the first week of camp, Blake Hallbeil's not going to make it as a kicker. He's already been cut.
Mm-hmm.
I told you after the second day of practice, DeShone Kizer's not making this football team.
He's been cut.
He's been cut. I can tell you who's bad. I can tell you who's good. I know A.J. Brown's good. I don't need to see A.J. Brown in the preseason to know whether or not A.J. Brown's good. But what do you know about tight end number 89, Tommy Hudson? Because Tommy Hudson's been getting a lot of quality reps, and I think he is, you know, kind of a blocking tight end that we know they're probably going to need, and he's a minimum salary guy. He's a big body. I watched him in warmups yesterday just crush the tackling sled on the block, and I don't know if that matters or not, but guess what? When you put him in a preseason game, I can watch Tommy Hudson block. I can watch Tommy Hudson catch. And even though they're wearing pads, they're not tackling. So I don't know, really. Can Tommy Hudson really drill a guy back? Or there was one rep where Tommy Hudson, I think in an 11-on-11, where you could tell he was holding. Not only was he holding, but one coach yelled out, "Stop holding." And Vrabel said to Luke Steckel, who is the tight ends coach of the Titans, "Tell your guys to quit holding." So, like, Tommy Hudson was holding in that. You get out in a preseason game, and I like Tommy Hudson. I don't know much about it. I think Tommy Hudson's going to make the team, but I don't know. We'll see in the preseason. You put Tommy Hudson out there, if he's a serial holder, we'll know.
Mm-hmm.
If Tommy Hudson can play, if he can catch the ball, we'll know. So those are, like, the individual things that I do think that I think are important or I enjoy to watch for. And I think, one, the preseason is going to give us a better feel for the Titans. I think it's going to give the Titans a better feel for the Titans. I think it's nice in camp to hit somebody else. I think these guys need to practice tackling because they don't ever do that anymore. Like, I think the preseason is important. I hear fans every year just complain about the preseason. Like, oh, God, I hate the preseason. It's so boring.
They're not, like, sexy games.
No.
You're not going to see, you know, your starting quarterback, and you're not going to see Julio Jones and A.J. Brown catching every single ball out there. It's not sexy, but it's important.
I just look at the fact that the preseason does serve a purpose. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we need six preseason games like back in, you know, Floyd's day. But I do think that we, three's fine, you know, because nobody really cares about the fourth game anyways. Three's fine, but they need to play the preseason. 615-737-1025. Let's go to your phone lines. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton, what do we have in there?
Mark from Paris texts in and says, "I cannot believe I'm saying this, but Jared, that's the smartest thing you have said talking about NFL preseason. Because I'm like Rexford, you usually are an idiot."
Well, I mean, I'll say this about Joe. Joe said months ago when the NFL decided they were going to go to 17 games. You may not have even been here then. And Joe said, 17 games. I hate the NFL. Why do they have to do 17 games? 17 games. And I'm thinking,
what's the problem with 17 games?
I'm thinking 17 games. It's not 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not anything, you know, unreasonable. 17 games. You get an extra game, which means for me, an extra pregame show and an extra week of the year in which we get to talk about the Titans and an extra week of the year where you can go to a game. And I don't have a problem. I think about the preseason, and I think everybody, and we live in a society nowadays where everybody worries about what's in it for them. Like, we've turned into this society where all anybody cares about is how it affects them. Case in point, 17th game, what's the first thing I like about it? Extra pregame show for me. We live in those society, though, where sometimes that's all people can think about. Like, they can't put themselves in somebody else's shoes. And I look at the preseason, and I understand you that is going to put on the preseason game because you like football, or you're going to bet a preseason game because you like to bet, or I understand that. But I also understand you sitting there at a game paying $9 for a hot dog watching Tommy Hudson and being like, why am I paying $9 for a hot dog to watch Tommy Hudson? And I understand that. But I think there's a lot of good that happens in the preseason that is good for the players and good for the team and good for the... It's like when the collective bargaining agreement comes out every year, the owners always give up what they don't really care about. So something that has been used in basketball negotiations, baseball negotiations, football negotiations is marijuana testing. Let me tell you something. The owner of the Seattle Seahawks does not give two poops whether or not Derrick Henry lights up a joint. He doesn't care. And he's not going to care.
If it affects his performance on the field, which it wouldn't, he would care.
Right, but the owner of the Seahawks isn't going to care what Derrick Henry
does.
Oh,
yes,
I mean,
yes.
Like, so it's a, so they don't care. So when they get into these negotiating windows with CBAs, it's like, oh, well, you know what? We'll offer marijuana testing if you give us this in return, because they know the players care about it. They don't care, but they're giving you something they know you want. And what I hate about this, where I'm going with this, is they've taken, in my opinion, almost all of the physicality out of practice. So you don't tackle in practice. You barely wear pads in practice. You don't go two-a-days in practice. You don't do any of that stuff anymore. And it's all been negotiated out. Because they will sell this to the players as, hey, player safety, less padded practices. While they're shoving a 17th game or Thursday night football down to you, they're saying player safety. And the players will take it because the players just don't want to work that hard. Because if somebody came to me and said, hey, Jared, we'll pay you double the amount of money or the same amount of money, but instead of doing 4 hours a day, you have to do 1 hour a day, I'd say, okay, sure. Caroline, would you like to do 3 more hours by yourself every day? Knock yourself out. So
I'll take it.
That's what they do. I feel like that's what they do with their negotiating. So it's taken tackling and physicality completely out of practice. So the only chance that you get to see, Dylan Raidens is probably not going to play this year for the Titans. He looks like a redshirt prospect to me, which I hate to say, but he looks like a redshirt prospect. If a game were today, I don't think he's on the active roster. Well, how's he going to learn how to hit in a real football game as an offensive lineman if he's not getting in the real game? The preseason. So I understand that the preseason is not for me, and I understand that you as a fan that takes your son to a preseason game and pays $13 for a hot dog and a beer, like, I get it, it's a preseason game, but there still is merit to it. And it's not like they're taking away regular season games to give us preseason games. So why not? I'm here for it.
I mean, I'm totally here for it. And I know that when it first came out, a lot of players were like, oh, 17 games, that's one more game of a lot of extra pounding on our bodies. That's another trip that we may have to take across the country, so on and so forth. And I am not the kind of person that says, you know, shut up and play. But also, you make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, boo-hoo.
It's one more game, and it's even more opportunities to boost your stats, and it's another opportunity to make it to the postseason. So, for them.
You work 5 months out of the year. Like, like boo-hoo.
I have a hard time feeling bad for them. I understand it. I hear that. I've never played in a football game, so I don't know the physical wear and tear it takes on your body. You can do one more game.
I think Floyd told me that maybe it was Earl Campbell told him, or somebody told him, that was like, I want you to stand 40 feet away from your garage door, and I want you to run into it 30 times. That's what it's like to play in an NFL game. I don't doubt that.
I don't doubt that at all.
But that's what you sign up for. Like, that's what you sign up for. It's like people that come to me and say, how do you talk for 4 hours a day? Like, that's what I do for a living. I don't know how somebody that cleans a window on a 90-story building does it, but that's what they do. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get to more of your reaction. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. Titans training camp, which we will have the TD Power Hour coming up at 3 o'clock. We will have that. Plus, we'll give away some James Taylor tickets. Tune in to Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9. The Sounds take on the Toledo Mudhens, the AAA affiliate of the Detroit Tigers at First Horizon Park. Jeff Hym will get you started at 6:50. First pitch, 7:05. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Willis thumps it in to the New England Winds. And we play on. Sapong hands off to Mukhtar. And there's the final whistle. No goals. 1 point in two words for this match. Job done. Nashville SC goes on the road. And they draw the best team that Major League Soccer has to offer. Our final from Gillette Stadium. New England 0 and Nashville 0.
We tied! Yes!
Draw. It was a draw.
We tied! Yes! Yes! Twitter's mad at me today.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I'm looking at it right now, and this is hilarious.
So Twitter's mad at me.
Well, I have a question for you really, before we get into this.
Oh.
When people get mad at you on Twitter, is that like a new, like, do you still get, like, all worked up about it, or is it just, like, same stuff, different day?
I mean, it depends, like, what happens. So when it was, like, the Deshaun Watson thing where I still don't think I did anything wrong, but it
that
ends up being
bad.
A topic on the Dan Patrick Show, or Jason Whitlock, the burner of every bridge in the history of America, is sitting there commenting on my tweet, you know, then maybe it's a little something different. Like, when you have to call
that
your parents.
A little bit.
When you have to, like, call your parents and be like, hey, like, I'm not in trouble. Like, that is one thing. This, no, does not affect me one iota. Let me say this. Nashville SC Twitter is mad at me, which I didn't even know was a thing. But it's just like all the other ones when they get mad at me. Titans Twitter's been mad at me. Preds Twitter, Vol Twitter, Vandy Twitter. They've all been mad. This is nothing
Preds
new.
Preds Twitter stays mad at you.
Stays, but they want to be mad at me.
Yeah.
Like, I am the problem child because that's my nickname, the problem child, because they don't want me, but they have to have me.
Mm-hmm.
But... so last night, as we were going off the air, we asked our Nashville SC correspondent, Ian Zafar, about the game. And Ian was telling us that they were going to rest guys because they've got a big stretch, which I now know is 3 games in 8 days. And so they were just going to try to, you know, play it, you know, try to get by playing the game. So let me say this. Every Nashville SC fan should know this. I think I'm honest with the audience. I think authenticity is something that is important about this show. Fair?
Fair.
I don't watch a ton of Nashville SC soccer. To be honest with you, I don't really care. And they don't really move the needle that much as far as what the big picture fans care about here in Nashville. I'm just keeping it real. Now, you all should remember, before you get all mad about Jared, you know, doesn't watch every Nashville SC game anger, I'm the guy who fought with John Cooper, our current mayor, when he was council member at large and was trying to stop us from getting an MLS team. I'm the one who had him in the studio, and he and I were yelling back and forth at each other. Ian, back me up on that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so greater good. I have been as pro-soccer as you can be of the Drive Time Afternoon Show host in this town to help you get a team. So I would just say cool it for a second, and like maybe bring it down a notch on how evil of a person I am, that I tune into the game last night. And I'm like, how can this be such a big game if you're not going to play all your players? And everybody's like, well, Jared, it's because they play 3 games in 8 days. I understand. But if it's a big game, meaning the other ones aren't big, then you would play your players in this game and you would rest them in other games. Somebody tweeted me and said, well, it's like Major League Baseball, starting pitchers have to rest. Right, and those games aren't big games. Those aren't big games. There's no one Major League Baseball game that is a big game. And if it is a big game, they will move the rotation around, or they will pitch a guy on 3 days rest, or they will do things that they wouldn't do regularly. Because here's a secret about Major League Baseball. They're not big games. Now, I will say this. I tuned in last night because you all were telling me it was a big game. I do not think that the average sports fan, not the diehard Nashville SC fans, but the average sports fan who you want to attract to have a bigger footprint in your own town, I'm not sure they're going to get into something like I watched last night, where you saw a team that was legitimately trying to play to a draw. I mean, it's like the opposite of the Herm Edwards you play to win the game. Last night, we played to tie the game. And I'm just not interested in watching that. Now, you can tell me that it's the strategy of soccer to get the 1 point, and that's the – fine. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm just telling you, as a sports consumer, and I'm a sports fan, I have no interest in watching our team go out there and play to a draw. I have no interest in watching us try to play to a tie. I would have no interest in watching the Titans go out there and trying to take knees in order to get to overtime and then milk the clock for a tie. And I know it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. I get that. But I found last night's game to be incredibly boring. And Nashville SC Twitter can be mad at me. But Caroline, my thought on it is, if you, I get that your sport is different than other sports, but if you want to bring everybody in, then I think this idea of being excited about a tie is something that just doesn't sit well with me.
I've said it before, and I will say it again. I would rather watch my team lose than watch a tie, because that's just so unsatisfying to go to a game and cheer for your team and watch the entirety of the game, and then you leave, and you're kind of just treading water. You're not any further than you were. You're not any far behind than you were. You just tied, and that's not interesting to me. And I will be incredibly transparent. I don't know very much about soccer. I will learn. I have tried to learn. It doesn't interest me very much, so I'm not going to tell them what they should or they shouldn't do, because I really don't know much about soccer. I don't know a ton about this Nashville SC team. I am learning as much as I possibly can. But a draw, I'm learning my soccer lingo, doesn't do it for me.
But see, I don't feel like I have to play dumb on the radio about soccer either. Like, I don't feel like I have to sit there and be like, oh, well, I'm not, you know, because I'm not the biggest soccer fan in the world, that I'm, like, not allowed to have opinions on it. That's not how this works. Like, that is not how this works. And I will say this. Like, for the Nashville SC Twitter, and you brought up the fact, like, does it bother you when Twitter, like, no, Twitter does not bother me. But, like, maybe bring it down a notch. Like, if you want people to care, like, bring it down a notch and maybe have some understanding how other people feel. Like, I get how you feel. I understand to Ethan and Josh and Caleb.
Are those all your hypothetical Nashville SC fans?
To those guys that love Nashville SC, like,
you have receipts.
I get it. I understand.
We see your tweets, Caleb.
I understand. Everybody wants to be mad. I get it. That's what Twitter's for. I understand. But, like, guys, you are mad at me for being bored to death by last night's game, in which our team, and you can see I'm calling them us and we, because I mean, you know, it's not like the Titans or the Predators where I feel like, you know, I have to kind of, you know, hold them accountable. National SC can go do their own thing, whatever. Where we tried to tie. Like, we tried to tie. It's bad. I don't like ties. I think they're
dumb. I think it's the worst thing in sports.
This is what gets me on a tie. This is what gets me on a tie. Like, I'm a fan of the Braves. So when I was a kid, we would go on trips to different cities that we hadn't been to go watch the Braves play and then go hang out in these cities we've never seen. That was great. Could you imagine, like, airplanes, hotels, tickets, food at the game?
It's expensive.
Yeah, there's no result. What?
I'd rather watch my team lose.
I wasted all my time for that. So I'm against ties to begin with.
It's so silly. Like, it feels like a participation trophy.
I understand,
like, good
too.
Job.
The soccer people out there are going to get really mad when you say you're against ties. So I.
Well, then the soccer people can be mad at me. They probably will sit. You know, people who don't like football can say this is a boring game.
They actually do. So in England, people find the NFL boring.
Well,
which
that's
I think
fine.
Is amazing.
That's
because
their personal interest. I personally am not interested in soccer. That's fine. If they're not interested in football, that's fine.
But I guess the point I'm making, though, the big picture about the ties and the things like that are, I don't like ties to begin with, but I definitely don't like us trying to play for a tie. That's where I'm like, screw that. You know, the go in with the game plan. What's the game plan, coach? We're going to try to tie. That I don't like. Ian, you like Nashville SC and you like soccer. How do you feel about me versus Nashville SC Twitter?
Well, I'm not sure they went out there looking to tie. I think they went into the game looking to not give up a whole lot of scoring chances. On the road, that's kind of been their MO. To kind of, you know, not get into an up and down type of game, pack it in. They play really good defense, especially on the road. So I think that was kind of like their strategy, like you said, in the first half especially. They didn't start a lot of their offensive normal starters. But in the second half, they did all sub them in an effort to try and, I wouldn't say steal, but, you know, get the extra couple of points there at the end when they saw it was still close. New England Revolution is a very high-scoring team. So I think going into it, their strategy was to not get into an up-and-down type of game, especially knowing that they were going to be limited with their offensive stars. And they did bring on C.J. Sapong, Hani Mukhtar, and Randall Leal all in the second half. And there were a couple of times there in the second half where they almost did get the goal. The weather was not good either. And so, and Dax McCarty even brought up on the broadcast the playing field conditions they don't like. So I think there was a multitude of reasons maybe why that was the game they decided to do that. But overall, I think towards the end in the second half of the match, they did, I think, kind of play to get those extra points when they could have not played Mukhtar, could have not played Leal, could have not played CJ Sapong like they maybe had planned on and just saved them for Sunday. But they did sub them in, I think, in an attempt to try and get those extra points.
So I understand that, and I did notice that in the second half. I left open a segment for you to react. So if people want to react, call in, text in, they can. 615-737-1025. But the idea that I'm going to apologize yesterday for asking why, if they were hyping it up as a big game, that they'd rest people, not going to happen. And the idea of me not thinking the game last night was boring, not going to happen. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. Would now be a good time to tell the fine folks out there that Nashville SC ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Sunday, Nashville SC takes on Miami, pregame at 4:45, and the match begins at 5 o'clock. Stillman and Company delivered by TriStar Moving. TD is in the on-deck circle for the TD Power Hour, which... I meant to text TD what we were going to talk about for the TD Power Hour.
You forgot, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. TD's in the on-deck circle, though, for the TD Power Hour coming up next. But I do want to give Nashville SC fans a chance to respond to their anger at me last night. Hey, at least I watched the game. Like, can we at least give me credit for that?
You tried.
No, I watched the whole game.
Yeah, you tried.
I was working out over there, you know, and I was thinking, okay, do I put on Nashville SC? Or do I put on The Last Dance? And I've only seen The Last Dance about 15 times. And I was like, yeah, well, I'll watch.
You've
Nashville
seen
SC.
It like all the way through multiple times?
Well, it's not like it's like I go episode 1, then 2, then 3. But it's more so like, you know, just when I got nothing else to do, it's like, oh, The Last Dance, click. And it's like, Dennis Rodman decided. And I'm like,
what
yes.
Be? What
you
be?
Know,
what
click,
be?
Click. You know, all right, what we got in the text line?
Kevin in Nashville texts in and says, so if the Titans decide to run the ball and play good defense, that isn't okay if it's slow scoring.
If they are tying, no, it is not okay.
And like I'm totally okay with admitting that I love the game of football. I love the game of baseball. I love watching basketball, but there are boring games.
Oh, let me, dude.
Like
hockey.
There are so many boring hockey games.
There was a hockey game a couple of years ago where the Predators were in Anaheim or San Jose, or they were somewhere. It was one of those ones where you had to stay up late at night to watch the game. And I just remember, like, in the second period towards the end being like, this is so freaking boring. And I was telling somebody the next day, I was like, yeah, I stayed up late last night to watch a Predators game, and it was so boring. And somebody said to me, they're like, oh, yeah, dude, sometimes hockey can get you with its boredom. I mean, and it's not to say that every game is boring, like, because I'm not saying every game is boring. Like, there are boring games. Anytime that you put the Chicago Bears on TV, that's boring. Like, that is boring. Now, is it as boring as last night's soccer game? Probably not. But I'm not going to apologize when I am bored. Like, oh, I'm bored. You should apologize for being bored. No, I was bored. What's next?
Donovan from Wisconsin texts in and says, yesterday's Nashville SC game was a waste of time. If I wanted to watch people try to score for 90 minutes, I would have just taken my friend to the bar.
Yeah, somebody tweeted me something that was like, you know, if I wanted to see someone try, I'd have just taken you to the bar. Ha ha. And, like, I didn't want to be like, I have a girlfriend, but because I feel
flex
like...
Flex on him, Jared.
See, I feel like if you do that, then everybody's like, oh, look at Jared trying to get all defensive. Look at him. It's like... Okay,
just leave it alone.
Okay. Hey, that's a good one, Bobby. Good take there. Dave's up next. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, guys. Hey, I want to ask Ian a question if he knows this. How many goals do they have away versus home? Because I see a different game when I watch them at home games. Like, they're trying harder to for the fans and to keep people interactive. That was one comment. And I think, and I'm not a soccer guy, but we are a soccer family. So I'm still learning the game too. But
define soccer family. Like, your brother's like a diehard Premier League fan, or like your kids play and you give them orange slices after the game?
Not quite orange slices. They're well above that. But so I'm learning the game from their side, and I can see some nuances of it. But they're teenagers, and they play club, and they're pretty good.
Cool.
But I was not a soccer guy growing up. I'm a hockey guy. There are some boring games. I feel like at home they play a little harder. And there are games that I put on in the background, and I can tell within 15 minutes if this is one I'm going to actually put my eyeballs on, or I'm going to change the channel and watch something else.
That's how I feel about Major League Baseball. Thank you, Dave. Ian, are they better at home than they are on the road?
Well, I do not know the goal differential as far as the splits there. They've had a very home-heavy schedule early on. They are 6-0-5 at home so far this season, and 0-1-5 on the road. That's their record. I do not know their goal differential. Their overall goal differential is 10. I do not know the splits, though, as far as home and away.
So somebody texts into the text line and says, Jared, you are so negative about all of Nashville sports teams, coaches, and players, which include the Nashville SC, Preds, and Titans, that maybe that's the reason you can never get the big interview or a big name on your program. I'd like to think that we've gotten the big interview on the show a lot. You know,
said the Titans are going 13-4 this season. So I'm not going to say that you're pessimistic about the Titans.
So here's what gets me is people, like one time somebody said, you're so disloyal, like when I was ripping on Poyle. And they were like, you are so disloyal to our coaches and our general managers and our... I didn't want him to fire Malarkey, and I didn't want him to fire Laviolette. So I guess I am just disloyal. TD Power Hour coming up next. TD's thoughts from camp with a week in the books, plus the rookies. I mean, it's time for the rookies to pick it up a little bit. TD joins us next. Stillman & Company, CSP at 102.5 The Game.